Hello?
Is this Dr. Death?
Yes, it is.
So what's your favorite scary movie?
Oh, hell, that's easy. Halloween 3.
What? Never mind. Fuck.
Good evening, Perry.
I own a motel. Not too far from you. And you'd be welcome to spend the night in one of the empty rooms if you'd like.
Oh, it burns! Oh, it burns!
And I'm the devil.
There's something really scary about a guy with a knife who just snaps.
Behind the voice.
You better start running.
Beneath the mask.
You're not real.
Is a terrifying secret.
I heard you got a phone call from the killer.
That can't be revealed.
Oh my God.
Until the very end.
Why are you doing this?
You can't save them. All you can do is watch.
Down behind you!
Scream 4.
Rated R. In theaters everywhere, April 15th.
Warning. The following episode of Necronomicast features movie reviews with spoilers. If you haven't seen these movies, you may want to stop. Otherwise, listen on.
Welcome to another episode of Necronomicast. I am Dr. Death.
And I'm the Reverend Podfather. And today, we're going to do movie reviews, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've it's been a couple weeks since we've posted another episode, but we had a lot of family stuff. It was really busy getting into spring.
A lot of stuff that occupied our time.
That's right, and you know, in both cases, it's been you've been able to do some stuff with Dr. Sanguinary.
Yes,
and there's been things going on with your video. You're doing some stuff for sci-fi for that.
Yep, and then a lot of my. But just a lot of the Dr. Death stuff taken off. So
that's right. That's great.
Yep.
All right. Well, we want to try and add in movie reviews here every once in a while, just because we do see a lot of movies, and this break actually gave us an opportunity to catch a few.
Yep.
I'm gonna let you start off. You went and saw Scream 4.
Scream 4.
Now it had a lot of hype on this movie coming up. It's been a few years since Scream and the whole scary movie thing came out, and people were kind of wondering. Why or is it going to be
good?
Well,
you know, and you get the whole crap from everybody that, you know, oh, why don't they just stop? Why? This is something everybody's wanted.
Yeah.
You know, why are you going to stop? Like I said before, why stop something that's going to make you money?
Exactly. That's what it's all about.
And there was a lot of hype on this one. I've heard people, you know, it's mixed reviews. I liked it. I liked it a lot. The very opening segment, it throws you for a loop. They kind of do the whole they spoof themselves almost in the first probably 10-15 minutes of the show. So you think you're watching one thing, and then all of a sudden, oh nope, I'm watching something else, and then it goes, you know, and then it starts. Really? The movie starts. The one thing about it that I was shocked, because I had read quite a while back, was that Neve Campbell dies.
Really?
And, you know, and they do make it seem like she dies, but she does not die. I'm not trying to ruin it for anybody, but, you know, Neve Campbell does not die. But it is one that will throw you for a loop. You know, just when you think it's the, you know, they always set it up where it's, you know, you think it's the one person, it's not. Mm-hmm. And this one here, I was not expecting.
Really?
Yeah.
So it did its job.
Yep. I would have swore to God, I would have put money saying that it was Courtney Cox.
Really?
Yes, just because of the way they, you know, and I think that's, you know, there was also one other character in the movie that they were, you know, making it look like, oh, this is him, you know, and they did a hell of a job. They threw me for a loop.
So how was the acting goes, there's some new characters involved,
yes,
and some very notable characters as far as younger actresses that are in here.
The one that was real well known is Hayden Panettiere. She was in there, and she did a phenomenal job.
Really?
Yes.
And then we've got Anna Paquin was in this one as well.
Yes, she was.
Kirsten Bell.
Yeah, those were the ones at the very beginning. They just had like cameo kind of deal. You know,
right.
They made an appearance.
So Hayden was in it through the entire time. Is that what
yes,
you're
she
for
was
the most part.
Yep, and okay, then cool. Emma Roberts, which is Julia Roberts' niece.
Oh, really?
Yes,
oh,
wow. She was in it, and it was good. Like I said, it was. it wasn't what I was expecting, but it was.
How was it as far as being a scary style movie? Was it more just like a mystery? Was it scary? Was it gory?
There was a lot more gore. It seemed in this one the gore was more. More proficient, you know. It's just a lot more, you know. It was more than in the last ones.
Really,
you know, you see somebody
a little
get
bit
their,
more blood there.
You owe a lot. You see somebody get their throat slit, and it's just like rolling out of their neck. It's like, wow, I didn't have that in the last one.
Oh wow,
yeah. So I was not disappointed. I would definitely recommend it. But like I said, there's, you know, everybody is on the fence. You know, I've heard people be on the fence about it. You know, because they get tired. Oh, it's Scream 4. Oh, it's Halloween 3. You know. People think that it needs to stop after, you know, so right. many. And it's like, no, this is something that people have been waiting for. So why not, you know?
And it's, you know, it's Wes Craven. He's the one, and he started this whole thing. Did you see the, actually, there was a bit on CNN about the guys that, it was a small little costume shop that that they made the Scream mask. And they had that line out, and they got called by the makers of Scream.
Really?
Yeah, and they said, we want to use this mask in our movie. Can we do it? And they thought it was just a college film kind of thing. They said, oh, yeah, sure, whatever. Boom, it was Scream. It took off, and they couldn't believe it. And it just blew up their business. They started getting more into costumes and bigger masks and things like that. But they had originally had it, and they make the mask, actually.
That is, yeah, it's called the ghost face mask.
Yeah, yeah.
And the one thing that I did learn about this was that the people from the movie have never seen or do not know who the guy is that his the voice of Scream.
Really?
Nobody has ever seen him. Nobody has ever met him. They have no idea. They could walk and be standing next to him on the street and would not know.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. But that kind of keeps with the, you know, the whole creepy factor, you know.
So you can't find it online or anything?
No, you can find him online. He's got an IMDb. You know, he does a lot of the guys. He does, his name's not right on the top of my head, but I know I researched him, and his voice, he does a lot of voiceover stuff for video games.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, he would be somebody I'd love to have on the show. You know, just to have him do his voice. You know? But they have never seen him. So, I mean, I, you know, in all fairness, that's kind of add to the creepy factor, because, you know, you're talking to somebody on the phone and you have no fucking idea.
Well, I'm sure they do some of that post, too, so they would never have any reason to interact with them.
Well, and in a lot of the scary movies, you know, that's something that you've, you know, I've always was always told was that the people in the movie, the victims or whatever, they never meet the guy that's the killer.
Right.
You know, they don't know who it is that's going to show up. They have no idea what's about to walk through that door. So when you see their reactions on the screen, times out of ten, that's a real deal. It's like, holy shit, what is that?
Yeah, they're prepping themselves for it, too, because they really want to get that actual fear in them. And as an actor, that's great, too. That's what you want. That's
It would scare the hell out of me if I didn't know what the hell was going to walk through that door and some big fat guy with a chainsaw. It might pucker my ass a little bit. But they've never seen this guy. They have no idea who he is.
That's super cool.
So they did it was a biography of Scream, and, you know, the guy sitting there, the guy that does the voice, and he's sitting there all in black, and he's got, like, the scrambled face, like, you know, he's like a mob guy that just rolled over on people, and has his voice, but you do not know who the hell he is, you know, other than his name online, but it doesn't, even on the IMDb, it doesn't show his picture.
Oh, really? So you can't even find the picture of him?
Mm-mm.
Oh, wow.
Nope.
Well, I guess that could be a good thing, too. You can't be anonymous. You don't have to worry about anything, but you still bankroll because of all the stuff you're doing with video games and all the voiceover stuff. That's a good.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
So, but yes, I would definitely recommend seeing the movie. Like I said, they kind of, you know, in the beginning, they kind of took a comedic turn. You know, they kind of spoofed on themselves a little bit. And, you know, they kind of, it was like.
You think they did that because of the Scary Movie franchise? Came out after.
Well, they did was, you know, in the first scene, you see two people sitting there watching a movie, phone rings, and they get on there and they start talking, and then, you know, the one just reaches over and just kills the other one. And then it's like, oh, stab 6. And then it goes into, you know, two more people sitting there. That was the Kristen Bell and Anna Paquin. You know, they're sitting on the couch, and, you know, they're the same thing. And then all of a sudden, you know, she reaches over and she hacks her up, and then it goes into the movie. And it's like, okay, is this the actual movie, or is this another spoof kind of deal?
Right.
You know, but it was.
And they kind of spoofed themselves on the first movie, too, because that was the whole thing.
Yeah.
About, you know, why do people split up, and why do they run like that? And it's always that one girl that gets, you know, taken away, and then she always gets killed. So, no, we're not going to do that.
But, no, and like I said, you know, and they also made it seem like, you know, they could have potentially made it seem like Neve Campbell was the one that did it, too. You know, there's a lot of characters in there where, you know, and everybody was expecting her to do it. You know, you hear people, oh, it's going to be her, it's going to be her, it's going to be her. You know, and it wasn't. You know, and like I said, I had heard she was going to die, and they make it seem like she dies. I'm not trying to ruin this for anybody, but...
No, no, we'll put a spoiler alert at the beginning of the show. So yeah. You want to listen to this
show. If you have not seen Scream and you do not want to know, do not listen to this show until after you watch it.
Right. And kind of the point, too, of doing these reviews, too, we want to hear from you. We want to know what your take on the movie was as well, or any movies that we review. So,
yes,
definitely. Well, cool. All right. Well, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll tell you a little bit about Insidious after this.
At this hour, they report the level of the mysterious radiation continues to increase steadily. So long as this situation remains, government spokesmen warn that dead bodies will continue to be transformed into the flesh-eating ghouls. All persons who die during this crisis, from whatever cause, will come back to life to seek human victims unless their bodies are first disposed of by cremation.
Are you ready for the zombie apocalypse? Maybe you should check out the Zombie Research Society. Founded in 2007, the Zombie Research Society is dedicated to raising zombie awareness in the fields of science, survival, and culture. Become a member of ZRS and let your voice be heard. The life you save could be your own. Remember, what you don't know can eat you.
Log in to zombieresearch.org for more information.
Hello, this is Dr. Sanguinary, and you're listening to Necronomicast with Dr. Death and the Reverend Podfather at Panic Stricken Studios, the only studio with one-ply toilet paper and two-ply hosts.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Sweetie?
Morning, guys. I would really like
to... He's not in a coma. They don't know what to call it. I know someone who can help.
We took tri-field and EMF readings of the whole house. Wiring, alarm clocks.
I don't think bad wiring is the problem here.
I want to leave. I want to leave this house. What is it?
It's not the house that's haunted. It's your son.
All right, and that was some audio from a movie that I'm going to review. Insidious.
And I have not seen this one, so...
Yeah, it's... Okay, first off, if anybody's seen the trailer, of course, you listen to the trailer and it sounds incredibly creepy. And the trailer itself really was. The trailer I was pretty excited about because it looked like they're using a little bit of old school, not so much jump out at you kind of fright, but just creepy shit. Subtle things. And the beginning of the movie started out just like that. In the credits, the opening credits, this movie had, you'll catch little things in the credits. They shoot like little different scenes that come up and you can catch a shadow or you're going to catch a frame that's tilted or the clock stops, that kind of thing. Okay. Footprints or handprints. So it kind of creeps you out at the very beginning as well. And the movie, you know, again, it's one of those things where family moves into the house. Weird things start to happen, and then pretty soon it gets creepier and creepier. Now, I would say this movie, first half, was pretty amazing. There are some great scenes with the voices coming through the baby monitor, and just kind of strange things you catch out of the corner of your eye. And then it got into, and basically the whole movie revolves around this kid who falls into a coma, and after, you know, he just doesn't wake up one morning after visiting the attic, and they're wondering what's going on, and then all the freaky stuff starts happening. So they're thinking the house is haunted, and they move, and they find out it's not the house. Now this kid's in a coma, and he's back in the bedroom. He's hooked up to kind of like life support, you might say. They're monitoring him, and he's just in the like home in home care. So part of it's pretty freaky. There was a couple of scenes that took me off guard. One with the camera passes. She's walking through the laundry room, and you really didn't notice it, but there's little. It looks like a little man or a little kid in old clothes in the corner. You don't really notice that he's there until you think back.
Think
like,
back.
What the fuck? And then he shows up later. So things like that were really creepy when they were experiencing faces in the windows and things like that. It really kind of creeped you out. Now this is, you know, James Wan directed. This is the guys that did Paranormal Activity, and also they did Saw.
Okay.
And so you think it's going to be, you know, it's got to be some gory stuff in there and some kind of indie filmmaking techniques and whatnot. At the beginning, like I said, it really was. Unfortunately, the second half really took a turn for the worst. They brought in the two, and I think it was, who was it? Was it? I think it was Lee Whannell, who was one of the paranormal investigators. And they were just kind of, these two guys, they're kind of bumbling. They looked like Geek Squad guys. You know, with the white shirt and the black tie, and they come in and they're investigating all the things that are happening. Unfortunately, they lost me right there because everybody watched so many shows.
I was gonna say, but you said with all the stuff that's on TV now, you see the equipment that they use, and you said earlier that it was just really janky.
Yeah, equipment. And how serious they would take it, and how they do this.
Well, and you would think that if that's the case with the stuff that's on TV now, that they would, you know, look more into it and try to keep it as close to what they're really doing. Then, you know, like you said, it was just bad.
It could be really It could have been really freaky, and they could have really connected with the audience more if they used, you know, common knowledge items that you know, pieces of equipment that paranormal investigators use, or took it seriously. You know, yeah, the big fat guy eating a Hot Pocket when he opens the door to talk to him. He's like, nah, nah, "What are you doing?" They're using old style flash bulbs that,
like you said, it was more Ghostbusters than you know, paranormal. Yeah,
that's when they started losing me, and then it really took off to where I don't know. It just, they started putting in cliched stuff.
You think they just got lazy?
I think they got lazy, and I think that they were trying to do something different, but they ended up getting lazy, and then it ended up being much like Poltergeist, so the story isn't anything new, for one, and two, it was almost exactly the same scenario as that old Twilight Zone where the girl falls into the dimensional door, and her dad has to go in and get her, and the dog's in there and stuff.
Follow my voice.
Yeah, it was exactly like that, and the same. In fact, it was so not well done in those scenes, because it is. What happens is that the boy can go out of his body, right? He's an out-of-body projector and thing. He goes too deep, and then we got these demons and ghosts that are surrounding him trying to get into his body. So the dad could do it too, and then they find out that the dad's been kind of, was able to do it, and he didn't remember anything because he was also being haunted by this, well, the creepy, creepy old lady. Anyways, he goes in after him into the astral plane to go after him. And it was just it wasn't done very well, I didn't think. They even had the smoke on the floor, and he's walking through. It looked just like the old the old Twilight Zone, only not even as good. So and the ending was not even a very good twist ending. So I would say first half of the movie, I would, this is a good rental. You know, it's not as stupid as some other movies, and there are some creepy things in there, so it's definitely worth watching there. The other thing I got really upset about, too, kind of about this movie, is that the latest issue of Fangoria, the April issue, they've got on the cover, they've got the scary lady, the ghost grandma lady, which is actually this old dude that they made up. It is pretty freaky. and they did an interview with them. And with the makers of the film, and I was really kind of blown away because they were touting about how different it was and how they were using these different techniques.
They just
and
kissed their ass. Chance.
Yeah, they did just, you know, I'm sorry, Fangoria, but I was really disappointed in that interview because I think that they should have kind of called them out a bit more.
So Insidious?
Insidious.
You, from Necronomicast, you get three thumbs down because that's all we have, three thumbs.
That's it. Three thumbs down. That's as low as you can go. So... So, all right, if you have any other, and the other thing was too, before I go with this, is that for some reason, everybody loved this movie. All right, so maybe it's just me, but they give it a 7 out of 10, 7.5 out of 10 stars on IMDb. Rotten Tomatoes loved it, which I don't understand. I won't go back to Rotten Tomatoes to find a film review and not go to it, or don't do that. It's terrible.
Well, what gets me though is on some of the, you know, some of these movies, you get these critics that just freaking tear these movies apart, and it's like they, it's so back asswards. Is they give the freaking bad movies good reviews, and they give the good movies bad reviews. You know, so most of the critics can fucking blow me because they don't know shit. And it's because the other thing is it's just because they didn't like it. You know, maybe that wasn't their type of movie kind of deal. And so these critics will tear these movies down, and it's in all fairness, it's not fair. You know, it's to because the critics are that it's just the biggest bullshit job. They sit there and watch movies and they judge them. But like I said, these critics, they'll, you know, it's just horrible.
Yeah, and you can give your opinions, and that's what we're doing on this show too. But again, we're not going to review animated kid films either.
Yep.
On this show, what we're going to do is we're going to interview.
Unless they cut some people up and we see some blood and guts.
Psycho bunnies. Yes, that would be good. But, you know, I think that we've seen enough that we can say, I mean, it's horror. There's a lot of camp. There's a lot of bad scripts. And you got to take it for what it is. So our opinions on this show about movies
are just that, our opinions.
Our opinions. And we do encourage you to, unless it's really, really bad, and we might steer you away from movies. But otherwise, hopefully we'll let you know. But, okay, well, that's going to be it, I believe, for this show.
Yep, I think we did it.
If you've got anything to say about either of these two movies, or you have a movie that you want us to review, go ahead and hit us up on Facebook, hit us up on our website, and or, you know, just call the show, and you can leave your own personal review. That would be great as well. So I guess until next time.
I am Dr. Death.
And I'm the Reverend Podfather. We'll see you later on Necronomicast.
You've been listening to the Necronomicast, a weekly podcast produced by Tim Welch and Wayne Brecky, part of the Free Life Media Network. For show notes and other information, go to necronomicast.com.